Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Beloved saints, for a few moments tonight, I'm going to be speaking to you about disguised deception. Oh my goodness, disguised deception. Say this with me, disguised deception. Tonight I'm going to be speaking to you about disguised deception when the elect defect from their destiny. This is what is going to be one of the greatest signs in the last times when the elect defect from their destiny. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Peter, and we are going to look at 1 Peter. We're looking at, let's go first to 1 Timothy, and we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4. When you have it, say amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is among one of the most powerful texts, and Paul is going to make a very distinct mark in what he is about to say in the fourth chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verse 1. It is so important that we mark this because of the way that Paul addresses this text. The Bible says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy," oh my, "having their conscience seared with a hot iron." This is what I want to bring to your attention. Paul is saying that in the latter times, but the Spirit is speaking expressly. I want you to understand, this is a term Paul never uses. We do not find in any other place in the New Testament that Paul is accentuating a doctrine that he wants to teach to the church in the way by saying the Spirit speaketh expressly. This means more than any other place. There is an accentuation, something that moved Paul's heart to say that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, meaning that most of the church is not going to have the faculties in their conscience working anymore, because their conscience have now become seared by rationalizing sin. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. Amen. I want you to see what this disguised deception is going to look like, because the Bible says, giving heed to seducing spirits. That means that those that are going to depart from the faith are going to be lured by a seducing spirit that has enticed them away from their calling. Put your hand up right now and say, "I do not want to be enticed away from my calling. I want to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Go with me for a moment to 2 Thessalonians. And we're being extremely doctrinal right now before we get prophetic. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Doctrinal before we're prophetic." And we're looking at the doctrine of eschatology, the doctrine given to us by Paul. Looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He is going to speak in verse 3 again about the great falling away. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's not a light thing." We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means." That means the second coming of Christ cannot come until we recognize and know that there will first be a falling away. Notice, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is the man of sin, the son of perdition? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the Antichrist. However, the name Antichrist is not used here. We know that 1 John, John the Apostle, is the one in Scripture that uses the term Antichrist. He uses it in two ways, but specifically the term Antichrist is always being referred to in the Scripture as the spirit of Antichrist. Say it with me, the spirit of Antichrist. Let's go for a moment to 1 John chapter 2 very quickly so that we can understand where we're going tonight, because we're going to get very prophetic in a moment. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're still doctrinal. All right, so we are looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible says, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. The Bible says, even now there are many Antichrists, that whereby you know it is the last time. Watch this, verse 19. For they went out from among us, meaning they were once with us, but they turned away. Three verses that we have just read before the coming of Christ that we are seeing that there is a falling away. Are you understanding this, saints? Turn to your neighbor and say, the perseverance of the saints. We have to persevere to the end. Say it with me. We have to persevere to the end in the faith. And so the Bible tells us, beloved saints, they went out from us. And this is why the Bible says in verse 19, for if they had been with us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But the Bible says, but they went out. That means they fell away. That they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Are you hearing this? If you are, say amen. Amen. Put your hands up right now and say, wonderful Jesus, I ask you tonight that disguised deception will not allow me to defect from my destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm asking you for the supernatural secrets to be revealed in your word of how the elect defect from the call of God in their lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want you to open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, if you will allow me for a moment, 2 Chronicles 17, 18, and 19 belong to a unit. Say it with me, a unit. Okay, there are themes throughout the Bible. And you and I must understand that that which is written in the Word of God is not written so you know it happened. Let me say that again. I said that which is written in the Word of God is not written so you know it happened. It's not a newspaper. The Word of God is not a textbook. It's not an information center. The Word of God, if it is recording history, is also teaching us in that history. Because the Bible says all Scripture is inspired of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, So if you're not in the Word, you're not furnished. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have to go every day for my daily furnishing. Unto all good works. Say this with me. Nothing in the Bible is dead history. And there's no part of the Bible that is not divinely inspired of God. Are you hearing this? That means, and I'm going to give you the doctrine of Scripture right now. I'm being very doctrinal tonight. Is that all right? In the doctrine of Scripture, we have what is called infallibility. It's a theological term. Infallibility means the Word of God is the highest authority on earth. There's nothing more high, there's nothing higher than the Word of the living God. The Word of God is how we govern our lives. It directs us. It perfects us. It's infallible. Secondly, in the doctrine of Scripture, the Bible teaches that the Bible is inerrant. Say it with me, inerrancy of Scripture. What does inerrancy mean? It's a doctrinal term, and those in the ministry better know that term. Inerrancy means it's without error. That means everything in the Bible, even if it looks like a mistake, was done deliberately. There is no error. And the Bible is consistent all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And if it seems that it's contradictory, it's up to us to solve it, because it isn't. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. So the Word of God is infallible. The Word of God is inerrant. The Word of God is the highest authority on earth. And the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. That doesn't mean inspiration like an inspirational little teddy bear. Or something inspirational that sounds so great and so flowery. Inspiration means that holy man of God, as the Bible says in 2 Peter, were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we see the prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures and the apostles in the New Testament Scriptures. Say it with me. The prophets and the apostles, moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, beloved saints, with that understanding, I want you to go to 2 Chronicles, because we're not reading dead history. And I'm going to quickly show you a pattern that is going to reveal to us the disguised deception of the end times. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, we also have, beloved saints, we also have a unit, and I call this a prophetic unit, because it actually begins in the 17th chapter, and it goes 17, 18, which is the key, and 19. And one of the ways we are going to be able to determine the disguised deception of the end times is when we look at 2 Chronicles chapters 17 to 19, we're going to see that there are prophetic parallels in a series of unusual behavior that emerges from Scripture. And that unusual behavior calls us to question. We are going to see that it emerges from Scripture, and it is actually a prophetic prefiguring and a foreshadowing of the deception, the disguised deception. Say with me, the disguised deception of the end times. Now, I want you to understand, when you are reading the Scripture, one of the objectives in order to extract the prophetic meaning means that we have to do what is necessary in our skills of studying Scripture to extract the author's intent. It's not just reading something historical so you have the information piled in your brain. There is a prophetic agenda that the authors had in mind in Scripture that they want to communicate to us. And so one of the ways that we discover the prophetic agenda of the author is we look for patterns in the Scripture. We look for patterns and we look for repetition. Turn to your neighbor and say, look for patterns and look for repetition in the verses that you're reading. And in a theological sense of Scripture, these patterns are called explicit expressions. Say it with me, explicit expression. That means if I find a word in one portion of Scripture, and I find that same word in another portion of Scripture, the authors did that on purpose so that we will be able to connect Scripture to Scripture. Are you following me? Say this with me. I want to interpret Scripture correctly, because there are many false prophets that have come out into the world, and we could be taken in if we don't know the Word of God. Are you with me, saints? If you are, say amen. So we need to see that as we are studying 2 Chronicles chapter 17, the entire narrative is so completely irregular that the only way to properly understand the prophetic agenda and to interpret it is going to be through the lens of last day's deception. Say it with me, through the lens of last day deception. So in a theological sense of Scripture, I'm going to give you three words. And these three words are shown in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, two times for each word. The first word is the word entice. Say it with me, entice. Entice is going to be used twice. Then we are going to see the word, we're going to see the concept, and we're going to see the phrase, lying spirit. Say it with me, lying spirit. In the mouth of the prophets. Say it with me, lying spirit. In the mouth of the prophets. So what do we have now? We have entice. Are you hearing me? We have the word lying spirit, that is twice. So we have lying spirit twice. Say it with me. And we have what? Entice twice. Now we have a third word that is repeated twice in this 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And that's the word disguised. I said disguised, lying spirit, and enticed. Say it with me. Disguised, lying spirit, and enticed. Where have we heard these words before? Turn to your neighbor and say, I've heard these words in the doctrines of end times, coming from Paul and coming from the book of Revelation. Are you hearing me, saints? If you are, say amen. Oh, somebody ought to shout the victory. Now I'm going to show you the word entice. And it's going to be taken out of context, but in a moment we'll put it in context. We're finding it in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And what is happening is that Jehoshaphat, whose name in Hebrew is Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat, the king of Judah, is joined in affinity with Ahab, who is Jezebel's husband. Now, let me just tell you something. What in the world is Yehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat doing by making an affinity with the house of Ahab and Jezebel? This is written so that we will know that even the very elect of God are going to be deceived in the end times. Because there was no other that were the descendants of David up to this time that was as righteous as Jehoshaphat. Turn to your neighbor and say, even the very elect of God are going to be deceived. Come on. I'm getting a lot of dead. I want to hear somebody responding to the word of God. Hallelujah. Let me just share with you what the Bible tells us about Jehoshaphat. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, the Bible is going to laud him. What does it mean when Scripture lauds somebody? It means Scripture itself is going to give us a character profile that few ever get. It's a personality profile and a character resume that is shockingly above all others. He's so righteous before God. Look at the scripture. The Bible is showing us here, beloved saints. The Bible says, looking at verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. He was with Jehoshaphat. Because he walked in the first ways of David his father. And he sought not to Balaam, but sought to the Lord his God, his father, and walked in the commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established his kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought Jehoshaphat presents. And the Bible says, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Are you following this? Let me just give you a little sidebar here. Can I do that? All of those who were David's descendants, who walked in the ways of David, received the DNA of David. I said they received the spiritual inheritance of riches and honor in abundance. Say with me, the inheritance of David's descendants, come on, were riches and honor in abundance. But those that did not walk in the ways of David did not receive the spiritual DNA of inheritance. Doesn't mean they weren't his descendants. It means they just robbed themselves by the choices they made. That's one of the reasons, that's one of the prophetic principles of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. 1st Chronicles shows us David's life, a dynasty built on the anointing. And then 2nd Chronicles is all David's descendants. And when the scripture says they walked in the ways of David, their father, you will always see the same pattern, riches and honor in abundance. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss any spiritual DNA. Somebody ought to say, I don't want to miss the spiritual DNA that belongs to me in Christ. Are you with me? Oh, somebody ought to praise the Lord. Now, this is unusual about Jehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat. This is extremely unusual because no one is alluded to the fact that they walked in the first ways of David. Everyone, Hezekiah, the Bible says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as David, his father, and walked in the ways of David. That's what 2 Chronicles 29, when the text is teaching us about David's descendant, King Hezekiah. And when the Bible speaks of King Josiah, David's descendant, he walked in the ways of David, his father, and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But when it comes to Jehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat, the Bible gives us an additional praise to his character traits. The Bible is bringing up this man's character for a reason. And it says, he walked in the first ways of David, his father. The first ways of David, the Bible is telling us are not exactly as the last ways of David. A little slight difference, not much. The first ways of David, his father. And so therefore, this means scripture is telling us that Jehoshaphat is impeccable in his character. He represents the elect of God. He represents those that are walking in the ways of the Lord. But the Bible tells us something that he did that is shocking. No, it's not immorality. No, it's not idolatry. It was alluring a way to join himself to an ideology and to join himself to a spirit that could have destroyed his destiny in total ignorance by what he's doing. By that, I mean, he did not realize that by joining an affinity with Ahab, the consequences that were going to happen in his life. And the Bible says, now Jehoshaphat, chapter 18, Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. This is told to us twice, isn't it? And he made an affinity with Ahab.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.